Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Hari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Vasudevaya.
Tonight we're going to discuss a verse from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We'll follow our regular class format of chanting the verse. This is text number 11 of the fourth canto. Fourth chapter. Fourth chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. What I like to do is read the word meanings first, and when you chant the verse, you get at least some sense of what the verse is about. Ye means all who, yata, as, mam unto me, prapadyante, surrender, tan, them, tata, so, eva, certainly, bhajami, reward, aham, I, mama, my, vartma, path, anuvartante, follow, manushaha, all men, partha, O son of Pritha, Sarvashaha. So this is a verse I'm sure many of you are familiar with, often quoted verse from Bhagavad Gita. Ye yata mam prapadyante, tangstataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha sarvasha, ye yata mam prapadyante, tangstataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha sarvasha, ye yata mam prapadyante, tangstataiva bhajamyam, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha sarvasha. Yeta mam prapadyante, tangstataiva bhajamyaham, mama vartmanu vartante, manushya partha sarvasha. So the translation, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. So of course Lord Krishna is speaking this verse to Arjuna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. I'm going to do this in pieces and speak some as I go along. Many of you who are familiar with this verse, probably some particular idea comes to your mind when you hear this. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. You may think about your own life. As I surrender unto Krishna, he will reward me. So there are many directions you could say the purport could be taken. And we'll see what Prabhupada does with this. Maybe a little bit different than what we usually think of when we think of this verse. So he begins, everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations. His meaning Krishna's. Everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma Jyotir effulgence, and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. So what you see here is Krishna is talking about particular persons and their desires and their surrender to Krishna or different aspects of Krishna. There's a series on YouTube. Someone was asking different devotees to explain, I think, who is Krishna was the question, if I remember right. And there are different devotees answering in different ways. And I like the answer that was given by Rabindra Srut Prabhu. His explanation was based, he said, Krishna is, as we say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that, for a lot of people, is, what? What was that again? It's the Supreme what? So he explained how we see Godhead in three aspects. Godhead means the absolute truth. Or you can say it just means God. It's kind of a fancy way of saying God. But it's not a limited understanding. It's a fuller understanding of God. So what is Godhead? Godhead is actually three. He contains three features, or the absolute truth has three features. He's one, ultimately. God is one. But he shows himself in different ways. Even these three features, we say, they're even though they're different aspects of Krishna, they're all really one Brahman, of course, in the Sanskrit, in the Vedas. The absolute truth is called Brahman. So Brahman, or the absolute truth, or God, is one, but he can reveal himself in different ways, or we can get different understandings of him, or different realizations of him. So that's what Prabhupada is talking about first here in this purport. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Means, as the transcendentalists surrender to me or approach me, I reward them accordingly. So he's talking about one category of people. Actually, Prabhupada would sometimes divide the world, living beings or human beings, into these two broad categories, the materialists and the transcendentalists. The materialists, their desire is just to live in this world and enjoy it as much as possible. And often their conception is that this is everything. There's nothing beyond this. There's no life after death. Or even for many who believe that there's life after death, still believe that we should put a lot of effort into trying to be happy in this world here. So they give a lot of energy and a lot of thought and attention to enjoying in this world. So those, we say, they're materialists. But then on the other side, there are those who actually want to transcend. They understand that there's another dimension. There are two realities. There's the material reality and there's a spiritual reality. So the transcendentalists, they're trying to get some realization of that. In Western philosophy and theology, they often speak of these persons as mystics, especially people who want to not just worship God, but they want to feel God somehow. They want to enter into, they want to transcend ordinary mundane perception and get some kind of transcendental realization. So these transcendentalists, Krishna speaks of them in Bhagavad Gita, and they're spoken of all over the Vedic literature. And different parts of the Vedic literature are meant for different people according to what their desire is. So here Krishna says, if you approach me in different ways, or if you're desiring me in different ways, you can say, then I'll reward you according to that desire of yours. Now these three aspects of the absolute truth, basically Prabhupada mentions them here pretty much just with the words, but Brahma Jyoti, Brahma, again this word Brahma, which means the absolute truth, or another way, the word Brahma, of course, is translated in quite a few different ways. You can just take it as spirit. So, but this means spiritual energy, or as what is often spoken of as the white light. So for many people, that's what they want. They want to enter into that light. They have some... Sorry, this thing keeps getting lower and lower and lower. I'm going lower and lower. I'll be down on the floor in a minute here. Okay. So they have, many people have this idea. Of course, you know in what we call the New Age and so on, yoga communities. Maybe that's all they know, that there's some kind of a oneness there. Everything is one, it's all one, and somehow it's light. And maybe even people have some near-death experience. They might experience some kind of light, and they felt some... that it was all good or all blissful or something. But it was kind of vague, but it felt good. So there are people, and of course in the Vedas also there is much discussion about this oneness of everything and the oneness of spiritual reality. So there are people who, that's their aim, and that's what they want to get to. Now this, of course, we say it's like, Brahma Prabhupada would give different examples to show these three aspects of the Absolute Truth. There's one that I like, it, where he says it's like a train. You see a train coming from a distance in the night. You don't, all you see is a light coming. So you might think, because, or a child, you say, well, here comes a train. The child might think, well, that's a train, a light. That's what a train is. But then, of course, when it gets closer, then the child can see, oh, a train is more than that. It's a big hunk of metal that's making all this noise and so on. And then when it gets even closer, then the child can see, well, the train is actually full of people and there's all kinds of things going on. There's all kinds of variety. So he's gone from an understanding of the train as just a light to a train with all the things that are going on there. So it's a much fuller picture. Another example Prabhupada gave was when you look at a mountain from the distance. So at first, all you see is maybe just some dark figure in the distance. Then if you get closer, you'll see, oh, there's trees and there's rocks. And if you get even closer, you'll see all kinds of what goes on there. There's so many things going on. There's millions and millions of living entities, and they have their lives and they're interacting. It's so much more than just some homogeneous blob of darkness. So the Absolute Truth is like that. It has these different aspects. Now, the amazing thing about that is that because it's all aspects of, these are all aspects of Krishna, there's some kind of satisfaction in contacting any of these aspects of God. Even the Brahma Jyoti, which of course for devotees, we don't take as very significant, but there are those and throughout the Vedic literature who are struggling very with great austerities and different kinds of spiritual practices over many lifetimes just to get that. And even if they get a little hint of it, then they get enough of, you might say, a taste that they want more of that. Because what is it, you may hear in different chants that the people will sometimes say, the Indians will some, they'll end the chant with shanti, shanti, shanti. So what is shanti? Shanti means peace. Just peace. Because in this material world, we tend not to be so peaceful. We have so many things, so many problems in life. So we might say, that's all I want. I just want everything to stop, and I just want to feel peaceful. You know, I just want to go out in my pool and lie down on my air mattress and zone out. But how long can you do that, really? You get pretty bored after a while. You might think, oh, this is so great. Especially today, we're so restless after 5 minutes. I got to go and do something else. I'm bored already. So actually, because we're active by nature, we're spiritual beings, that's where the activity that's going on in this body comes from. It's coming from the spirit within. So we can't stay in that. Even though there is the peace, just think, because what happens when you get Brahman realization, you get the realization that I don't have to die anymore. And all these things that were causing me so much suffering and anxiety, I don't have to worry about those things anymore. So you get rid of all the negative stuff, but it's not enough. Another example Prabhupada gave is just like someone who's convalescing. They've overcome the disease, okay. Now you don't have the disease anymore, but still, maybe you have to lie in bed and still recover because you've lost all your energy and so on. You have to still recuperate so you can get back to your full strength and you can go back to your normal activities. So there's more to existence and reality and spiritual reality than just merging into this Brahma Jyoti. So that's one level. But Krishna says, this comes up often in the Bhagavad Gita, especially if you read the commentaries of other commentators in our Sampradaya. They often mention this, how Krishna, all of these things, Krishna has to reward them. Even the yogi who's trying to get into that light, Krishna has to allow him because it's part of Krishna. It's Krishna's Brahma Jyoti. It's his energy. Even to get into the company, or you might say the aura, just like people are, they're fascinated by some celebrity, movie star, and they just like to get close to that person. But you can't. You know, the bodyguards all around them and so on. It's not easy to get close to some big celebrity. So to get close to God, to get into God's energy, his effulgence, you need his permission. So even for that, Krishna says, I reward the yogi who gets that. It's coming from me. So the next stage, of course, is the Lord within the heart, Paramatma, or Super Soul. So that's more personal. The Brahma Jyoti is impersonal. It's just light. although it's connected with Krishna, the realization is connected to Krishna is generally not there. But Paramatma is Krishna within the heart. Now, Krishna in the heart, he's overseeing everything that we do and allowing and permitting us, and actually everything. We can't do anything in this world without the help of the super soul, the Lord within the heart. So that Lord within the heart is the goal of the yogis' meditation, especially if they are knowledgeable and they learn from the Vedic literature about the Lord in the heart, they're trying to contact him. So that's also, of course, a form of Krishna. And then the ultimate form of Krishna is Krishna himself. And that's the highest thing, because in that form, Krishna reciprocates personally with you. The source of that energy that's so amazing, and the Paramatma who's so amazing, just imagine that person, how amazing he is, how wonderful and attractive he is. Those other things are so attractive to certain kinds of transcendentalists. So imagine how the source of all of it is, how attractive he is. So that's Krishna, and you get to personally associate with him. So this is where Prabhupada goes now. He starts talking about this. He says, in the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees. So he reciprocates with these others. But in the spiritual world, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as supreme master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feeling are there. In other words, friendship and love between husband and wife and these kinds of things. Those are there in the material world. And they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshipers. So the things, the relationships that we see in this world, Krishna has them with his devotees. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. So this, of course, is the highest thing. That's what we are doing in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's our aim. We've heard about Krishna. Prabhupada has convinced us of the reality of Krishna, and that Krishna is called Akhila Rasa Amrita Murti. It means that all of the nectar, happiness that we can attain in relationships, we know that there's a lot of problems with relationships, but really the happiness comes from relationships in this world. It's like I was saying, you can lie out in your pool for a little while, but after a while you might want to talk to somebody. So Krishna is the source of all, whatever pleasure is available there, and of course it's pure, ecstatic pleasure. That all comes from Krishna. So that's what we're attracted to, ultimately. In fact, that's what we're looking for in this world. We're looking for that relationship, but we don't find it, so we're always disappointed, actually. Ultimately, we're disappointed in relationships, and even if we have a good relationship, it's going to end eventually. And that's the hardest thing. That's the irony of this world, isn't it? There's so much pleasure in love and being loved, but so much pain, the pain of separation. This is characteristic. Prahlad Maharaj, he characterizes this material world. Yasmat priya priya viyoga samyoga janma shokagni chu sakala yoni shuddhayamana. Says in this material world, we're burning. The heart is burning. And what is the main one of the main causes of that burning? Is that we get in contact with things that we love, and then we're separated from them. And that's so painful. It's like having your heart torn out. So relationships are disappointing, ultimately, in this world, by definition, because it's a material world. It's a place where everything is temporary. We want it to last, but it's not going to last forever, for one reason or another. But with Krishna, it lasts forever. And it's already there. We just have to awaken to it. So, going on here with the purport. As for those who are impersonal... Now, here's Prabhupada. Now, of course, Prabhupada's glorifying the devotee's position in relationship with Krishna. Now we'll see what he thinks of the impersonalists. As for those who are impersonalists and want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead, Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them who are not firmly situated even in the impersonal existence return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. So this little section is about the impersonalists and their situation. So first of all, Prabhupada says what they're doing is committing spiritual suicide. Because, well, again, there's no relationship. We know there's this idea that, and so many impersonalist yogis have preached in America and, well, everywhere, that you can become God. You are God. You are that. Tatvamasi. You are that. And you just have to remember. In other words, you're God and you've just forgotten somehow. Which, of course, we think is a ludicrous idea. If you're God, how do you forget you're God? I woke up this morning and forgot I was God. And then they even teach meditations where you go and you... I've heard this, people go, you go and sit and watch the sunrise and you pretend, you meditate that you're doing it. I'm God and I'm making the sunrise. I'm so powerful. If I do this enough, I'll remember that actually I am doing it. So we think that's kind of crazy. So the idea, of course, the idea is that you merge into the existence of God. There are different kinds of impersonalists, but some have this idea. They want to give up their own individual personality, individual identity, and just become one with everything. So Prabhupada said, rightly, this is suicide. You're giving up your own identity. We say, no, you don't have to give up your identity. Now your identity is, you have a misunderstanding of what it is. You think this body is your identity and maybe causing so much suffering, and out of frustration as a reaction to that, then you think, well, better to become nothing, in essence. I'll give up myself, my very self. Actually, there are people become frustrated like that. They say, oh, I wish I was never born. I didn't ask to be created by God. Why did God create me? And so on. So this is a kind of mental illness, actually, what it is. It shows how we can become so frustrated in this material world and so unhappy that we give up all hope. Huh? Of course, Krishna consciousness is a hopeful philosophy. Well, that's not the reality. That's not really who you are, this suffering person. That's not your eternal identity. Actually, your identity is to be eternally happy. That's your rightful inheritance. That's where you belong. That's the situation you're meant to be in. To be happy with God, to be in God's association, to be with Him in that realm, in God's realm, in God's home, servant in His home. This is such an important point, actually, in Krishna consciousness. We always promote. Of course, we glorify Krishna. We say how great Krishna is. But actually, to be the servant of God is actually greater than being God Himself. Because we may think, wow, Krishna's really got it great. Look, he's got all these girlfriends. And he's got all these... I want to be him. Some people, they think like that. In fact, there are still people who they think like that, and they want to do that somehow. But, of course, we know Krishna comes himself to serve him because he wants to see what it's like, because he sees that those who serve him are actually getting more pleasure than he is. To be the way it's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is that there's, you know, the exchange between Krishna, the devotee holds, he's the container. The devotee is the container of the love, and the devotee gives that love to Krishna. So Krishna says, I want to see what it's like to be holding that love, to be the container. I want to see what that's like, because that looks like they're getting millions of times more pleasure by loving me than I am by receiving it, actually. And Krishna wants to enjoy more than anybody. We all want to enjoy, but nobody wants to enjoy more than Krishna. That's who he is. And of course, he's such a sankalpa. Anything he wants, he gets. Kind of a spoiled kid, but he gets anything he wants. And even if he has to take on a different form to do it and worship himself and be his own devotee. So it's such an exalted thing. So to get that, I was speaking of this in class the other day. We say in the prayer to Tulsi Devi, Seva Adhikar Diye Koro Nijadhasi. We're praying to Tulsi Maharani, please make me, give me the privilege of devotional service. Devotional service is a great privilege, something you have to earn. It's not, it doesn't come easy necessarily. Actually, we get it from the mercy of the devotees. The devotees, the pure devotees of Krishna, Krishna's servants, they have it. They can give you the license to serve Krishna. They can give you the pass to get into Krishna's abode. But they guard it carefully. They want to make sure you're not going to crash the party. Do something. You're not going to go in there and be an idiot. You know, not going to go in Krishna's party and do something stupid and offend the Krishna, offend the devotees. But they're the ones who can give it because they have it. Krishna say tomar Krishna dite par tomara shakti achi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have Krishna and you can give him. This is your shakti. This is the pure devotee's shakti. So it's a very valuable thing. It's the most valuable thing to have the service of Krishna. So that's what we're wanting. Whereas there are others, the impersonalists, they just want to merge into Krishna. Give up serving Krishna. So the devotees think, that's horrible. What? Merge into Krishna? Actually, Prabhupada pointed out the absurdity of it. He says it's like a child that says, Mommy, I don't like being myself. I want to go back inside you. Can I go back inside your tummy? So that's kind of like merging into God. You want to go back into it. No, Krishna created you to love. That's why do parents have children? Because they want a loving relationship with their children. So we exist to have a loving relationship with Krishna. He gains and we gain unlimitedly. So to renounce that and say, I just want to disappear and give up that and just merge into, become God, devotees say, no, that's horrible. That's why I'd rather be in hell. At least in hell I could think of Krishna, and that's bhakti. Don't let me just become him. I don't want that. Now Prabhupada also talks about, he says the impersonalists, they can go sometimes into Brahman, get this Brahman realization or Brahma Jyoti realization, but they're not satisfied there. So they end up coming back to this material world. Prabhupada would often say that there are different examples in India where big sannyasis or renunciants, and they were known as, they were supposed to be, sometimes in the language of the New Age, ascended masters, although I probably never used that term. But they were considered to be liberated above this material world or having entered into Brahman or the Brahma Jyoti. But after a while, they didn't stay there. They came back and they opened hospitals or did some kind of welfare work in this world. So Prabhupada said that means they weren't satisfied there. They had to do something. And why weren't they satisfied? Because they didn't connect with Krishna. They didn't get a taste of service to the lotus feet of Krishna. When you're in transcendence, you have to connect with Krishna. Then you're stable. Otherwise, you may not remain, even if you think that you're beyond everything and all the attractions of this world. You might think, I have no longer, I have no cares in this world and so on. I'm fully spiritual. But you won't stay on that platform. Of course, your idea of what is spiritual may not be accurate anyway. But if you attain some vision, you might say, of transcendence, some realization of it, unless you connect with Krishna, you won't be situated there. There's an argument, actually, in the prayers of personified Vedas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that very technical chapter, philosophical chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. So sometimes it's argued there by the impersonalists that, well, we say going to the Brahma Jyoti is okay, because even if it's as you say, that the Brahma Jyoti is situated in the personality of Godhead, well, that means we're situated in the Brahma Jyoti, which is situated in the personality of Godhead, so we're okay. We're firmly situated too. So the Vaishnav counter-argument is, well, it's not the same. You may be standing on a rock, but it's not the same as standing on the earth. You can fall off the rock, but you're not going to fall off the earth. So when you're situated in Brahma Jyoti realization, it's like standing on the rock. Okay, you're connected with Krishna, but you might fall off there. But when you're standing on the earth, you're not going to fall off. When you're connected to Krishna, then you're secure in transcendence. So I'll finish up the purport here. Now Prabhupada's going to talk about what we say the karmis, those who are not transcendentalists. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties. As the Yageshwara. Yageshwara means the lord of yajna or sacrifice. So karmis perform sacrifices and they get rewards from those sacrifices. So Krishna is the one who gives those awards or rewards. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. So that's the other thing. There are yogis who are searching for the Lord in the heart, Paramatma, but there are also many yogis who just want to get certain powers. Especially formerly, even today, there are those who may see some exhibition of power by some yogi and think, wow, I'd like to learn how to do that. That's pretty cool, levitating or whatever. They can do different kinds of things. So someone might think, whoa, I really want to do that. So they may study under some yogi, whatever the art is, some kind of subtle art of mind control or whatever. They learn that power. So Krishna says, I also provide that. You couldn't even perform the practice, of course, unless Krishna gave you the ability, physically and mentally, to do it. So then he also says, I award those results too. So Prabhupada says, to finish up here, in other words, everyone is dependent for success on his mercy alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. Unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, the condition of the devotee, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. And we see how Prabhupada concludes his masterly performed purport. Nice round package he's made explaining this verse. So this is the central point of the whole thing. We depend on Krishna for everything, whether we're materialists or different kinds of transcendentalists. In all cases, we rely on Krishna. So why not just worship Krishna? That's the final word of the purport. Whatever you want, just worship Krishna, and he will actually. Krishna, he'll give you what you want, but he'll give you much more than that. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, it says, especially for the devotees may have some material desires, but they really want Krishna, but they kind of want something else too. So Krishna will give that other thing, or he'll give something that'll basically satisfy that desire, but it won't make you want more and more and more of the same thing. He arranges it because Krishna, once you turn to Krishna, you express some desire to have Krishna, then he wants to help you. So he does things to help you. So he may fulfill your material desires, but he may fulfill them in such a way that you don't keep asking over and over again. Actually, what he said, Lord Chaitanya basically paraphrases this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where he says that what Krishna does when his devotees pray for him for some material things, he says, why should I give this foolish person just that? I'll give him my lotus feet. I'll give him a taste of my lotus feet, which means his service, basically. I'll give him a taste of what it means like to get my taste my devotional service. And then he won't care about asking for anything else. That's ultimately how Krishna traps us. He hooks us in by a taste of the taste of devotional service, which we get in different ways by Prabhupada's mercy. All right, I'll just read the verse in translation again. Ye yata mam prapadyante tangstaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manusya partha sarvashaha. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Any discussion? Yes, Mother Aratnika.
Thank you, Prabhu. I often wonder about why There's different varieties of transcendentalists. How they're transcendental, for instance, those who want mystic powers or those who want peace or those who want to merge.
Yeah, especially like how is it transcendental to want mystic powers? Yeah, it isn't really. It's actually kind of, it's a, what's the word I want to use? Anyway, it's not, it's really not transcendental to want these mystic powers. The yogi who's looking for Paramatma, you can say that's transcendental. And they're using a process which is generally, and in some ways, of course, they have to control their senses and so on. But to want these things, it's completely a material desire. In fact, we say, sometimes we say that in one sense, only Krishna consciousness is transcendental because all the others have some kind of desire. Krishna bhakti nishkama atta eva shanta. Only the devotee is peaceful, which means in transcendence, because only the devotee doesn't have any desire. So even the desire to merge into Krishna's effulgence, that's also a material desire. So in that sense, you can say it disqualifies it. But in other times, Prabhupada would say, well, they're transcendentalists. They're trying to get out of at least ordinary, mundane, karmic life. It can be categorized in different ways. Prima Kanta Prabhu. The microphone.
Encapsulate the second to last part of the verse where Krishna says basically everybody's following him in all respects.
Yes, well, that's kind of what the purport was about. Krishna says here, everyone follows my path in all respects. So the everyone, Prabhupada takes that everyone in different ways. So first of all, he applies the verse to everyone means all the transcendentalists. Everyone means whether you're a jnani, a yogi, or a bhakta. Each one of those is trying for some aspect of Krishna. So everyone in that sense. So then in the purport, Prabhupada, so they're on Krishna's path. They're on the path of Krishna because Krishna is all of these things. They're different aspects of Krishna. But then as Prabhupada expands the purport, he says, actually everybody is on my path in the sense that I'm the one who fulfills whatever desire they have. That they're coming to me, whether they know it or not, to get the fulfillment of their desires. Of course, the other thing is, everything is Krishna. So how can you get off Krishna's path? You take path in that kind of metaphorical sense, whether we live in the material world or the spiritual world, every move we make is on the path of Krishna, because as Krishna explains in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, this whole material energy is coming from him. And of course, the spiritual energy is all coming from him. So every single thing that we do, every move that we make, it's being supported by Krishna. So in that sense also, everyone is following Krishna's path. There are different ways that could be read. Adi Dev Prabhu?
I know for myself, many years ago, when I first thought about transcendence or yogis or mysticism or something beyond the material world, just because, you know, being in the material world, you kind of figure out, you can eat one ice cream cone, that's good. Second one's okay. Third one, kind of tough. Fourth one, you got to pay me to eat it. You know, so
yeah.
But I came in contact with a book called Autobiography of a Yogi. And it was a mind changer. Mm-hmm. But, and I think a lot of people come in contact with different types of spiritual literature, but we're just ignorant. We don't know. You know, that's all we know about. You know? So.
Yeah.
As long as we remain innocent and kind of open, well, then perhaps Krishna could give us the next step.
I think the first thought I ever had of transcendence, even though I was raised religious, I read a line in Walt Whitman, Leaves of Grass, something about how the spirit in the grass is the same as the spirit in the animal, or something like that. And then, wow, it was just an astounding thought to me. Before I came to Krishna consciousness. So maybe we get hints here and there in other ways, but then when you come to Prabhupada, it's like, whoa, the curtains are really opened wide and you get to see windows into the spiritual world. Looking into the spiritual world, so much more is opened up to us. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. I have a small question. So people may take it in the other way, that everyone is following Krishna's path. So some materialistic might say, oh, I'm drinking or smoking or doing anything wrong. And that's the path Krishna has arranged for me.
Yeah.
He has asked me to chant or read Bhagavad Gita. You are doing your way, I'm doing my way, and following Krishna's path. So how can we understand?
Yeah, people like to take one word in there, one line. I heard someone say, my favorite line in Bhagavad Gita is where Krishna says, now do what you wish to do. Krishna does tell Arjuna that, but he kind of tells him what's the best thing to do. So that's the same idea. Yes, in a sense, everyone, we're all dependent on Krishna, but Krishna is telling us what we need to do if we want to be happy in this world. So we can make excuses and we can probably use the word a plea. It is only a plea, you would say. In other words, it's just an excuse. It's just a way to get out of what you know is right. It reminds me, actually, I remember many years ago, there was someone who was visiting our temple for a short time, and a young man, and we were going to chant at a Grateful Dead concert. There were people were hanging out in the parking lot for 3 days or something, you know, doing what they do. And we were going there to chant and distribute books. And this person was in the van with us as we were driving there. And he was saying, I was thinking I would go into the concert. And we're saying, no, you can't go into the concert. That's Maya. And no, when I go to the concert, I think of Krishna. I want to go to the concert and think of Krishna. So, well, that's not quite the way it's done, is it? You have certain things that you do that are conducive to your Krishna consciousness. Just to think, I'll do anything I want, and I'll think of Krishna. Yeah, right. You're not going to be thinking of Krishna. You're going to be thinking of whatever song they're singing and whatever's going on. So we don't just do anything and then say, you know, I'm on the path of Krishna. You have to do it under the guidance of Krishna's devotees. They're the ones who tell you how to act, because you have to act naturally. And to get into that relationship with Krishna, to revive that relationship, you have to qualify yourself. And that's what we want. So if you just make a plea, if you just make excuses and you try to get out of doing the right thing by your intelligence, then you won't be successful. Yes?
For me, the key word for me personally is the word surrender. And because that involves change your heart. What is for you the best way to change your heart in order to achieve the more sincere surrender unto Krishna?
What's the best way to change the heart? Chant Hare Krishna. All the things Prabhupada gave us, we change the heart by absorbing our heart. We have to get our heart attracted to Krishna. It's attracted to so many other things. The more we get in contact with Krishna, the more we'll see how sweet Krishna is. His attraction will act on us. Now it may not act on us so well. The example given in the Upadeshamrita is that it's just like when you have jaundice, something sweet, doesn't taste good, you don't want to eat it. But you have to eat it, and the more you eat it, you get cured of your disease, then you realize how sweet it is. So the change of heart comes by being with Krishna. I just recently wrote an editorial that I titled, Being with Krishna to Be with Krishna. So we want to be with Krishna. How do we do that? By being with Krishna now as much as possible. That's what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is all about. We try to be with Krishna in the sound of his name, in carrying out the orders of his representatives, in reading books about him, eating Krishna prasadam, which it's time for, and so many things. That's how we be with Krishna, so that we can be with Krishna eternally. Well, we'll let Krishna Kripa say something, and then we'll close.
Yeah, just because people are on Krishna's path doesn't mean they're going toward Krishna.
That's a good point. Get that? They may be going backwards on the path.
And that Krishna, it said that Krishna engages people in pious activities so they can go to heaven, and in sinful activities so they can go to hell. Mm,
that's right.
So there is the path to Krishna, and you want to be on that path.
Yes, as the verse, as the purport ended today, Krishna is fulfilling people's desires. And of course, Krishna's representatives it said they're even more merciful than Krishna, trying to change people's desires so that they desire only Krishna, hanker after Krishna. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.